Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first, or should I say, 200th Brad and Body Podcast. Yes, it's the first one of the 26-27 season, but rightly so. This is our 200th episode. We are so excited. Potty, how the hell have you put up with 199.1 episodes so far?
It hasn't seemed that long, Brad. Let's be honest for a second. It hasn't seemed that long because when we were looking this up, you know, we are into our ninth year of doing this now. When you think of that, it's like, wow, I know of marriages that didn't last this long. So, you know, I think the distance between us, you being in Sydney and me in Adelaide, that probably helps. But 200 shows, come on, you have to have a favourite. Is there any? We've done some good interviews, some of the best people.
Mate, we have done, like, we were going through this just for our listeners. The people, our first one was Lindsay Gaze. That was the greatest one, right? Because obviously the GOAT. But we've had Gorgian, Andre Lamanis, Brad Newley, Simon Mitchell, Michelle Timms. We have had Dean Utoff, Vlahov, Rachel Spawn. We have just had some unbelievable ones, but I have thought about this, and the best one for me, I'm going to take you back to a time in 2021. Right. And on the 11th of August, Australia win a bronze. Sorry, I'm wrong. 7th of August, I'm sorry. Australia beat Slovenia in the bronze medal match to win our first ever medal. 10 days later, while they are in lockdown because of COVID rules, we had a conversation with Chris Golding, and that still sticks in my mind of what it was like to win a bronze medal, and I get goosebumps when I think about it. So that is really one. What about you?
Well, that show might have been about a bronze medal, but it was gold. Yeah, the one I want to go to is all the way back to the first interview we did, which was Lindsay Gaze, the great man of Australian basketball. And it was funny because during that show, he had a phone call on his home phone because he was doing us on the mobile, and we let the recording run while he took the call, and it was some guy that was going to have to forfeit a game that night, and Lindsay said to him, no, I'll organize a couple of extra games, you get extra guys for your team, make sure you don't forfeit, you know, you want to play the game. And it was just so typical of Lindsay, and then he came back on as though he hadn't missed a beat. It was just a beautiful moment that gave you an insight into him that otherwise wouldn't have happened if he hadn't got that call randomly.
8th of February 2021. That's when it was. 8th of February.
So that was our first actual.
That was our not interview. Our first episode. It was our first to bring someone who we actually named. Where are they now? That's what we actually said. But it was fantastic. I also think it's the time where we say to the listeners, we want to thank you so much for listening to us. You know, Body and I started this, like you said, into our ninth season, and we just thought we don't know if anyone's going to listen. And there was a little of a joke. We had one or two, and that was, you know, our wives and my mum, I think, was the only ones that was listening. But then, you know, you go to games and people say, oh, I love the Brad and Body Podcast. You go, you know, you're in Adelaide and you walk down, and, you know, the feedback we get is outstanding. So we want to thank everyone. Our good mate, Chuck Harmison, who always, you know, when I catch up with him, he was always like, where's the show? I want the show. So
very encouraging.
You know, thank you, everyone. And look, we are just so pumped to be on our 200th. And boy, do we have a fantastic guest for our 200th.
Totally appropriate too, it being the Women's World Cup.
Amen. Well, as we mentioned, we are very lucky. It is our 200th show, and Body and I were working around and going, right, who can we have on this? And it was really only one answer. Joining us now is an absolute icon of Australian basketball, an Opals legend, an Olympic medalist, a Hall of Famer, and someone who helped pave the way for Australian women on international stage. She's been a champion both on and off the court, and we are absolutely thrilled to have her with us on our 200th show, Michelle Timsy Timms. Hello, Timsy.
Oh, thank you, guys, and congratulations on your 200th. Woohoo! Let's party.
It's been a difficult marriage, but we got here.
Oh, Body still thinks we're up to our sixth. His Alzheimer's hasn't kicked in properly.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
So let's talk World Cup, because that's really the topic. Australia, are you happy where they are, Michelle? I mean, the Alana Smith situation seems to be unresolved. No one gives us any real insight into how injured she might be. What do you think of the performances without her, with Izzy Bourne having to step up as a starter?
Well, first of all, I'll back it up, because to be honest with you guys, when I sat down and went through the brackets and had a look at the pools prior to the start of this tournament, I thought we're in for a really hard time. That was before Alana Smith got injured. Yeah. And I thought that, you know, Sammy dropping out, Kayla pregnant, moving forward to a rebuild, that it was going to be tough, you know. And honestly, my sentiment was, which didn't really say to too many people, but we'll be lucky to make the, you know, that I definitely didn't have us in a medal, you know, like I wasn't talking medals at all. Yeah. And my opinion was that if we could make a semi-final, that would be an absolute masterclass of coaching and playing. So my expectations going into this tournament weren't high. But having said that, I, especially after watching Puerto Rico game, I didn't think we did very well there. But then I jumped back on board as quick as you could when we played Turkey. That was. You know, Turkey for me was the big worry, because I watched us play. I went back and watched us play the pre-qualification round against Turkey, and Turkey ran it down our throat and nearly beat us. And then going into that game without Alana Smith, I think we were super lucky. Not lucky, we played great, don't get me wrong, but Burke, their import, clearly is injured because she didn't play last night. But we played just some super hoop, and suddenly I'm back on the, we're going, bring on Belgium. I reckon we can beat them, you know. So my expectations of this tournament were low, and I was hoping it was going to be a really good, is a really good ground for us to get some minutes into the young bloods and see what our future looks like with the eye of the Olympics. That's what I'm sort of using this as, in my head, using it as preparation for, you know, the upcoming Olympics. So my expectations haven't been high, but that Turkey game was fun to watch.
Yeah, look, I watched the Turkey game and I thought exactly the same as you. It was like, are we there? Can we get them? And to me, it was, you know, the big loss to me is Sammy Whitcomb. That, I mean, I know there's others that are out, but I thought with the fact that Sammy was out, and I thought Jade Melbourne played really well and things were starting to go really well. But against that Belgium at the start of the fourth, we go 11-2, or Belgium go on 11-2 run. We have six turnovers. We, you know, shooting the ball really poorly. And it just, to me, felt really one of those games you're like, right, who's going to take it by the crust of the neck? And I couldn't see it. Do you think we can advance further based on the team that we've got?
Yeah, absolutely. We play Italy next. So that, I think that's a tick. I think we get over Italy. You know, fortunately for us, Italy shoot as bad as us from the three-point line. Actually, probably worse. I think they shoot 16% from the three-point line so far for this tournament, whereas we're, you know, I'm big on three-point percentage at you know, in the WNBL or, you know, Olympics or World Cups. I think we need to be a better shooting nation from the perimeter, and we're only sitting at about 25% from the three-point line. But, look, I think we can get Italy, and then we move on to the harder task of beating Spain, but I think we match up well against Spain, you know. So, I mean, as a roller coaster ride, and I'll back it up, I think you're absolutely right. We missed leadership. I think that's what disappointed me probably the most last night, is nobody stepped up to be that leader. Now, Jade, God love her, she tried her hardest and she, you know, put the ball on the floor and tried to create, but she probably needed to put the ball under her arm and think about what we needed to run.
Precisely.
You know, the thing that was really noticeable to me, and I'm not trying to pick on Steph Talbot or anything, it was one time that she just dropped her head and you could see the frustration, and even the commentators picked it up. That's when I thought, uh-oh, there's no leadership there. That's what made me nervous.
You're saying frustration. I'm using a different F word, fatigue.
Okay.
There's a couple of them looked like they were running on empty. When Jade Melbourne started to screw up in consecutive situations, I thought she just needs a rest. I would like to have seen Steph Reid out there. She got the last 30 seconds or something, but I would love to. What about yourself, Michelle? Because she's an organizer. Yeah, well,
mate, I'm a point guard. So, what she brings is a real dogged defensive approach. But when you're that type of player, I don't think you can just play them for a minute or so and then expect them to, you know, have a big impact. Like if you're a defensive stopper, you need to be out there and get in the flow and really understand the tempo and feel the tempo of the game. So, I mean, look, I'm going to be biased towards Steph, so I'm probably not the best person to talk to, but I like her game and I feel like, you know, but this is the way Sandy's played her at each of the tournaments, so I'm sure Steph is used to it. So taking her moments, but it's hard to get in the rhythm when you, you know, like what did I think Steph played maybe 34 seconds
33. Last night. Yeah, 34 seconds.
It's very hard. And in those situations where you feel like we need some leadership, yeah, it would have been good to come from Ezzy or Talbot. But having a and like you say, the fatigue factor for Jade, having a point guard who can just say, right, put the ball under their arm and say, we need to change sides, we need to run this play to get this player a shot, is invaluable.
Well, I see, I don't really rate Alex Wilson as highly as many do as a point guard. I mean, I rate her as a player, but if she's your secondary point guard to Jade Melbourne, I think it should be Steph Reed should be getting those minutes, because Wilson can run as a combo guard and as a two. I think we kind of maybe blew an opportunity yesterday, but how good? I mean, my favorite player right now, they've got two favorite players in the world, and one of them is Emma Messerman. I mean, she's the Lauren Jackson of Belgium.
Yeah, absolutely. She's been probably the best player in Europe for a long time, you know. Yes. And just when you think, you know, going into this game, I just thought that beauty, you know, we played so well against Turkey. They've got to play at 11:30 a.m. You know, this is a huge advantage for us. But Emma Meesman, she's going to be tired. And sometimes when she plays, she has that nonchalant look about her that, she's fatiguing. But she ain't fatiguing. And I think their coach did a really good job during the game of his substitutions and getting, you know, those starters a rest and then coming on in the fourth and being able to play out that fourth quarter and get on top of us. And just looking at our fourth quarter, I don't know, it kind of felt a little imbalanced on the way we started that fourth quarter. Like we went really big, you know. So, yeah, anyway, look, they're a world-class team. I had them finishing third at these games, you know. I mean, the FIBA power ranking has them finishing fourth, but in my mind they're better than Spain.
Now, I want to talk to just quickly about Italy, because that's our next opponent, having finished third. They got clobbered by China. But, gee, they really took it to the USA. I mean, Cecilia Sandalacini on that last play, I don't know what she was doing, because there's no way that girl even touched her.
I know, how embarrassing.
That was so bad.
But even when she's calling for that foul, it was just dumb. It was dumb, because if they call that foul, it's a two-shot foul. They were 3 points down. Like, I don't know what was going on in her head, but they played a pretty decent game. Now let's switch to the USA. I think they've got some internal issues going on. What's your take? You're across the WNBA. You know, you were one of the pioneers of that league. Do you see a harmonious USA team? Because I don't.
No, mate, you never see. I mean, how often do you see a harmonious USA team, though? Like, I don't know. I haven't actually. I've been looking at the scores and reading all the online stuff about the US and that. But I haven't. To be honest, I haven't watched them play yet. I was really surprised about that Italy result. Went away from that Italy result thinking, well, heck, when was the last time a USA team scored, you know, under 60, for gosh sake? And apparently I found out sooner. It was 1971. But yeah, so obviously they had some issues. But I'm not across what's going on with them, to be honest. I'm really focused on us and, you know, who we're going to be coming up against. And, yeah, we might play the USA down the track in if we can make it all the way to the semis. But, I'm not too much looking at them.
Timsy, I just want to ask, so you're Sandy right now and you've got this team that would be pretty gut-wrenched after a poor fourth quarter, let's just put it simply. What are you saying to them and what's the plan against Italy?
Well, you know what? I've been here, let me back it up and say how disappointed I've been in the bloody apps that are around to watch these games. Like, I've been trying to watch the Italy versus China game to get a better feel for them, and I can't even get it up. That Dazner app is driving me nuts. You know, you pay good. I'm having a whinge here, boys, but
go for it.
They have it on ESPN and also on Disney if you've got either of those.
I have it on Disney and I can't pull the game up. So, I'm having trouble even getting to that game, which I really wanted to watch that before I have a really good think about Italy. I mean, they've got basically two players in my mind, Mandera and Sander Lasini. But getting back to your point, Brad, I think you have to have a look at that game last night from our point of view and say, well we were in it, you know, and we know our best is good enough. And we were in that game, and you pick apart the obviously the good points, and then you've got to go through and discuss the negatives and say, you know, we can get this done, but we've all got to be on the same page, you know, yada yada.
So by your measurement, and I agree with it, if we were to get through to the semi-finals, that would be an outstanding performance given all the circumstances, the players that are absent, the chances of Alana Smith actually suiting up again in this tournament. You know, that would, so reaching the quarterfinal, how would that rate us? Is that where you may have expected to see us get?
I expected us to get to the quarterfinals.
Right.
And but I think the way it's landed is favourable. As I said, I think playing Spain in the quarterfinals is pretty darn lucky. And
did you see the Mali game?
Yeah.
When Mali knocked them off?
Yeah, unbelievable. How good was that?
It was, I know.
Look, I must admit, it brought a little tear to my eye because it was it was so moving, you know. Those girls played so well, and it wasn't one out of the bag. I mean, Mali pushed Japan. So they went down to the wire against Japan as well. So super happy for them creating history. That was huge. But, yeah, I think the Opals are all right. And as I said, I think it's – if we can get to the semis, I tick that off as an absolute masterclass by the coaches and the team, because my expectations were quarterfinals. But,
All right. Well, before we finish here.
You got some questions to fire.
Yes, I got some questions. Oh, so just so we know, goodness. Italy play Australia on Thursday by the look of it. So just so everyone listening. Okay.
At the ungodly hour of 4:45 a.m.
God. Okay, well, we get up. That's what we do, right? That's what
Sorry,
we do.
Sorry, Debbie Downer.
Yeah, that's what we do. We'll find that on Disney. Okay, so, Timsy, for our 200th show, I'm just going to ask you some questions. First thing that comes in your mind, who wins the World Cup?
France.
If Michelle Timms is in her prime playing today, what are you averaging? Jesus.
Oh, not much, mate. geez, I don't know. Oh, that's a tough question, Brad. I'll give it to you.
24. 12
points.
You're talking about Timsy in her prime or Timsy now? Because now she could get 10.
Oh, now it's 28. I mean, in her prime, it's 24.
Too hard to answer.
Okay, first thing again. If I said to you, this is a player, great passer or a great scorer, what do you want?
For me?
Yep.
What was it again? Sorry, I know you want to do
great
this quick.
Great passer or great scorer?
Oh, I want to be a great passer.
Defense or offense?
Defense.
WNBL championship or Olympic medal?
Olympic medal, you whacker.
Yeah, that's easy. That was so easy.
I know, but I got to ask. Okay, Michelle Timms is the point guard. Who do you want beside you?
From the group now or from my past?
Anyone.
Oh, geez Louise. Well, I was pretty happy with Shelly Gorman with me or Sandy Brondello.
Beautiful. Okay, old school basketball or today's game?
That's a
really good one. Look, I'm warming to today's game. I was against it, but you know what's happening in today's game is that I've always clung on to the old style game. I like the European game, right, which is what they play now, getting through sets, yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
And the American style is quite different, but I have to say that the IQ of the players, and that's been something I've been really like, the oldies, we were so much smarter, you know, but I think the IQ of players is really improved. So I don't know. I'm going to stick with the old style European, you know, run sets.
I know the athletes are better,
but I like the chess match.
And you played to the rules, you know, like a travel was a travel. Carrying the ball was carrying the ball. You
know, my God.
Flopping was flopping. So, you know, it was a better time.
Okay, couple more and we're done. Playing or coaching?
Playing.
One possession to win the game. Take the shot or make the great pass?
Oh, I'm taking that shot.
And finally, this is the hard one, Brad or Botty?
Brad, it's not a hard one. I go Botty every night of the week. Sorry, Brad.
His wife said he wishes his wife would say that as well.
Oh, stop it.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're an absolute legend.
There was only one correct answer and you got it.
Hey, Botty should be in the Hall of Fame, mate. Undoubtedly.
Amen to that.
Just
Amen
done that. So much for the women's game. Hey, congratulations, guys, on your 200th. Thanks for letting me part of your show.
You're a legend, Simsy. Love you. Thanks so much for coming on.
See you, Michelle.
Bye.
Oh, what a legend. To have someone like that on our 200th show, it was quite quick. I'll just let all our listeners know. It was something I said, you know, Botty's like, oh, we should do the pod. And I'm like, yes. And who are we going to get? And he's like, Timsy, not even a thought came into your mind. Like, you just knew who you wanted. And I love her and she's great. So that's so to Timsy, thank you so much. Botty, let's move on to the NBL. We've just seen the Blitz. It's been a very interesting offseason. The last time we spoke was before the NBL Game 5 of the Sydney Kings.
Yep.
However they did it, getting over Adelaide.
That was a fantastic victory. Wasn't it? Fantastic victory and a great game, which if you saw Game 1, which was a record blowout, you never expected we'd see a Game 5 of that nature.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on. Let's not talk so much about the Blitz because hardly anybody put their best foot forward.
Yeah,
so I know that you for the NBL, you've had to already pick a top six.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it that deeply, so I'd be curious to know what you think, who you've seen.
I agree. I did watch the Blitz. There was nothing there that made me think I've made a wrong decision. And like you said, because some players weren't even there. Look, I've got Adelaide winning the chip. I think they're going to be better for it. I love the fact that as forget everything that happened with Coach Wells, but when you have a situation where you lose a game like that, that's hard to come back from. They don't have to discuss that now. That's moved on because they got a new coach, right? Mm. So I went over to Summer League. I loved it over there in the off season. I saw Coach Wells. I saw all the coaches over there, had great chats with them. And it was just, you know, Adelaide were done and there was just something like they were going over there to look for next year and the year after. So for me, that was something that I thought, yeah, they're ready.
One thing I've heard John Jenkins say, now he's been around, they brought him back in the import spot, in one of the import spots because Dijon Vasiljevic was moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's never trained as hard in his entire career as Trevor Gleeson is making those young men train. So I think, yes, you can actually close the book on 2026. This is going to be a new era for the 36ers. So yeah, look, I like that aspect of it.
When they get Bull Quoll back, that will give them another defensive intensity that will lift them again. But, you know, obviously Bryce is the man, and I just love what they do. The guy that's going to stand out again is Flynn Cameron. Wow.
Yes.
What an offseason he's had. So that was the first. I then had Sydney. I think they've done enough. There's been a lot of question marks of them. The guy that is really pressing me with Sydney is, you know, you're going to get out of Kendrick Davis. What happens? That's fine. I know he's not in the country yet, but the talk, he'll be back. Delhi, all of those, Torrey Craig, it's Malawatch.
That's
the guy. I've got him for my most improved for the season as well. I just think, and at the Blitz, he had like 20 in 16 minutes and stuff. So I put them there. I then had Southeast Melbourne Magic. I like what they've done. Look out for Hunter Goodrick. I know he's an ex-Sydney kid, but look out for that kid. He plays exactly what Josh King would want. And I'll be interested to see Dash Daniels. The only question mark I've got for this team is, geez, they've got a lot of players again around the same. You know, they've got Tanner Krebs, who they've bought in. They've got, obviously, Nathan Sobey, Angus Glover, Skylar Mars, the imports, Dash Daniels. There's a lot of players to get in. They'll get the shots up and they'll play very fast pace. That's the only sort of question mark I got for them. What about you? What do you think?
I'm looking forward to seeing Hunter Goodrick and Jordan Hunter in the same room, let alone the same team, okay? Because I've always thought, that could be one of the same. And that said, I'm going to check Angus Glover for his ears because I've seen a recent picture of Vincent van Gogh, and they look very, very alike. Very, very alike. I like that team. I like the basis of what Josh King does. Yeah. It's all up the floor, 94 feet, defense. That's going to get you wins. That's going to put them in there.
So that's where I've got my four, like Sydney, Adelaide, Southeast, and Melbourne. To my fifth, I've gone for Perth. I just think they're an import down, and they have to go and get a quality guard import. But I think they've got enough. This Anthony Del Orso as well is very impressive.
For the Boomers?
Yeah, only question mark I have is they need a point guard that's not a scorer, right? They've got too many scorers. When you look at, you've got JLA, right? You've got Christian Doolittle, Dylan Winder, Del Orso, what Pepper, you know, like where are all that was, there's got to have enough ball, right?
And what's happened to Jaron? Jaron really, is he still there?
So his hamstring is still a problem. He's a great point guard for them.
Yes.
And this is no disrespect because I haven't seen him enough. I don't think that guy's going to win you the chip right now, but geez, he's going to be a fantastic backup. Yeah. He might be there in a year or two, but I don't think after a handful of games yet, I'm going to say you've got the keys to the engine, right? So that's the only drama I have for Perth is they've got to find this point guard that's not going to come here and go, well, I want 20 of 10. Because that's not what they need. So it's a tough get for them. And then the fifth one, I'm going to be honest with you, I was juggling
sixth one, my mistake.
And this is I was really struggling between Tasmania and Cairns. I like what Cairns have done. I like what they've picked up. But I went with Tasmania because I trust Scott Roth. And what I love the Taron Armstrong signing. You bring Will Magne into that. Wow. They've got their imports. I really like what they've done.
Yeah, so do I. I'm high on their imports. Obviously, we want Bryce Hamilton to be able to get back to what he was, which will take a bit of time. But just the pieces that we didn't see, like Will Magne and Majuk Deng didn't play the whole thing. So I just liked, I liked.
They were there. They were right there when they were healthy.
Yeah,
they're great.
So I put them ahead of Cairns.
Okay. And I did too. But you look at Cairns, like I like their imports. This Jaylen Brown's going to be good. Malik Lewis, I was a bit surprised with that one, but it sort of fits in well with what they want to do. But then, you know, obviously they've picked up Sean Bruce. They've got Jalen Galloway now, Rain Smith, Sunday Deck, Jack McVay. Like they've got some serious – Keanu Pinder, sorry, I forgot to mention him. And Jonah Bolden came on and played a good few minutes there on the weekend. They've got the nucleus of a really good –
Wait a minute. There's one game where he played a good 5 minutes and fouled out.
It wasn't 5 minutes. It was 3 minutes, wasn't it? I don't know. Yeah,
no, it's 5 minutes 20. He averaged a foul every 1 minute and 4 seconds.
I've got a theory and some –
That's even better than you, Brad.
Yeah, no, he got on the court. Of course he's better than me. I've got a theory. I think in summer league or in the Blitz, 10 fouls. You don't get fouled out in that. You haven't played for a while. Just let them. They do it in summer league. You can't get fouled out. I don't want to see a player fouled out in a Blitz. Just let them go.
Interesting, though, because then you still have the premise of the Blitz is winning quarters. So if your starter's fouled out, you may not win the quarter. Therefore, you don't get the point for that quarter. Therefore, you may not win the Loggins, Bruton.
Both ways. One can argue if you're fouling that much, you're getting free throws anyway. So I hear you.
I like your thinking.
Yeah. And then, look, you know, obviously the ones that we haven't discussed is Illawarra, New Zealand and Brisbane. I like Illawarra. I like what they've done. I'm just worried they don't have that natural point guard. Okay. To me, it looks like Milton Doyle's going to run the one. Well, it's him or Davo, so I don't really know. And I thought they would have done something slightly different. Milton Doyle is a fantastic player. I don't know.
I see him as a combo guard, not as a primary guard. I see him the same way as Bryce Cotton. I don't see Bryce as a point guard. He's a combo guard. He can play point for you. He can pinch it there if that's what you need. But he's got Flynn Cameron running alongside him as well.
Did you think Trey Kell was hang on, did you say Flynn Cameron, you mean Tyler Harvey?
No, I'm saying I think Milton Doyle as a primary point guard is not the answer. He's a combo guard.
Oh, you're saying the same as that. Gotcha. But going back to that, did you think Trey Kell was a point guard? Because that's the question mark, because I didn't, and he was amazing.
I thought he was what they needed.
Yeah, so is Milton Doyle? I don't know.
Well, he hit a nice shot against Adelaide. So I don't know. That remains to be seen. This will be a good season. This will be a good season because Gordon Herbert coaching New Zealand.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
You know, he's won a World Cup with Germany, unsung. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. So they didn't show us anything.
No, I didn't. I don't know. I just looked down their roster. They've picked up Quatnoy, DJ Vasilovic. You know, that it really depends on what you get from the imports. You know, that's what's going to make or break those season. You know, Sam Meninga is going to have good numbers. But yeah, and PJC will do PJC things.
Question without notice, because you do know more about the Kings than I would. Why do you think Jalen Galloway and Quatnoy, those two particular pieces, left? I can understand Bookwell, that's a different story, but why do you reckon they left? They just won a championship, they were integral in it.
Yeah, look, my simple answer is I don't know, because, okay, you know, they're keeping that in house, but my gut feeling, I just don't think they wanted to be part of that system anymore. They wanted to go and be the man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is interesting, because I don't think Quatnoy is going to get that opportunity in New Zealand, but I do think Jalen Galloway will get that in Cairns.
Okay. I would have thought Jack McVeigh, Keanu Pinder. There's a
there's
a long picking list.
I think Jalen will touch the ball.
What happened to Mojave King?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about him. Yeah.
Anybody know, please?
Yeah.
Text us a line somewhere.
Text us on the hotline at body.com. I don't know where it is.
All right, let's get out of here.
We're done. Look, everyone, thank you so much. Body, I just want to finish off for you to say thank you so much. It's been an absolute privilege calling these last 200 episodes with you. Man. You are the absolute don of basketball. You're fantastic. Give the man an OAM.
You're too good to me, Brad. Nah,
you're a good
man. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm looking forward to year
the
9.
Next 200. Did everyone just go, no?
No, yeah, there's people screaming and howling in their kitchens right now.
And that's all just right, our wives. Have a fantastic time, everyone. And don't keep looking out. We're back. We're loving it. WNBL is going to start up soon, and we'll talk that about their preseason in Townsville soon. Obviously, NBL starts soon. We can't wait. Welcome to the 26-27 season. We'll see you next time.
Now, Brad, seriously. You must have known when you asked Michelle Timms, Brad or Buddy, you had to know which way that was going to go.
You know what? After 200 episodes, I thought they would have known the real you, but I guess I'm wrong.